So yeah, we put this stuff on so that we have some record of the whole thing, what is it that we are going to say. And, the whole idea here is also put the lapel on.
Yep.
So the whole idea of this meeting is that it's not me who will be talking all the time. So, that would be a boring, that would be definitely boring meeting.
So Jura is going to talk.
No, I'm going to listen.
So actually the reason why we got together is that it's about the time to make sure that when Petra leaves us, I'm afraid it may happen, right? I mean, he didn't change your mind yet. Or your girlfriend didn't change your mind. So that whatever he's been doing is not forgotten, and then people can stay on his shoulders, and I hope that he won't get out entirely out of this problem, but still we need to continue on this. Yeah. So I think Joel is my main hope, that he's going to pick up the keyword spotting and some of these ideas. And also the reason why Petra Motlicek is here is that Joel is also getting interested in local models of the temple envelope.
Yeah.
And of course, Petra Fosegna knows a lot about it, but both of you you will be here and from different point of view. Petra Motlicek is working mainly on speech coding. And so this is, I guess this is it. So I guess that really you should be talking more than anybody else because you should be asking questions.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so what is it that you need to know? And
maybe just tell us what you know already about, I don't know, how far you were with this.
Yeah.
Features or?
So basically I started reading about the features that's taking the long temporal and time frame. It's traps.
Yeah.
And tandem approach.
Signals.
Yeah. So then I also started with there was a paper on fitting a TR model to the DCT of a signal. Started with that and slowly getting used to the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To the DCT?
Yeah.
But
the paper by Dan Ellis and.
Oh, this is how it started, basically,
yeah.
Because
yeah.
That was Mario Satinelos,
yeah,
and then Alice.
Yeah.
They had a paper, I believe it was not ASRU or something, right? It was ASRU.
Yeah.
But that was the time when they weren't using very long segments.
Yeah, okay.
It was like 50 milliseconds or something that they were playing with at the time. And, so then the story was that Mario's presented that at some meeting, and we realized, oh, that might be a cute thing for estimating spectral energies, because that's what we want, and the way we are doing it is, I think it works, but it's a little bit inelegant, and somehow stupid, so first do the frame based estimate, and then you get stick to 100 hertz sampling, 10 millisecond sampling, or something, and then you just pick up the trajectory, so. So Marius was here for half a year, maybe, or even more, and started working with Petra. So they were working a little bit together. Mainly Marius was programming in MATLAB, and Petra was putting it into.
Yeah, I just rewrote it in the C++.
But then we were hoping to pick up on that a little bit more, and we did, right? You did a little bit of work.
Well, we tried. There are many knobs to tune on that, because you can decide what compression factor and everything. So I tried a little bit, like pick maybe three knobs and try to go through the 3D cage to see what happens in which kind of settings. So this we did, but.
And we never published that anywhere, right?
We didn't, because there was still a question that I don't remember right now. Because there was some essential question. I don't remember. I would have to look at it. And because before we could write anything, I would have to be sure that something is right there. I couldn't be sure about it at the time, so. And anyway, it takes time, this computation, it's very inefficient. It takes like 100 times more than computing some MFCCs computing these features, because it's a huge DCT, huge FFT everywhere.
Yeah. We were also doing a series thing that we were stepping it by 10 milliseconds, right? at the time.
Yeah, there was no optimization. We just stick to the trap. We wanted to make as close to trap as possible, which is silly, but that you have
that
to start
somewhere. Never start, yeah.
So then I continued with another paper that you're mentioning, SP trap. So just moving around with that ideas, and also the main idea today why I told maybe is like if you can list down what all things are there to be taken care of, then one by one, because finally if I find that you have something else, so maybe to list down the things other than the what I have already taken from you.
Okay.
And also to discuss anything.
So well, last time we were talking about Gaussians, you have the Gaussians running somehow, feature extraction.
Yeah, feature extraction.
And the tandem training also. So you are able to train on that now.
So you may be the only one in the whole world now, because Chifang is gone, and Barry is gone. So Morgan was joking.
They are gone from ICSI?
Nobody from, they are gone from ICSI. Yeah. Chifang went to TI, and Barry is at Lawrence Livermore Lab. He basically got a job. He graduated. And he'll be working on things which he cannot talk about. He can't even say it on the microphone here.
it's
classified more typically. And so Morgan was only half joking. Somebody was asking him, somebody was asking him something. That was Matthew. And he said, well, probably we'll be coming to ask you because nobody really knows anymore at ICSI. So please take.
Who is the one who is now developing the QuickNet and these things, the MLP4 and
nobody, that was Barry, and now it's closed. Actually, Brno is doing a lot of that. Now, they picked up the software and they play with this four-layer nets. So it might be that Brno will be soon the ultimate expert on
Well, still, we have the experts who made the software down here, you know, Olivier.
Which software?
QuickNet
was done. QuickNet itself was done actually a long time ago at ICSI.
Olivier make it run on these machines and make the cross the 2G barrier here at IDEA because we couldn't do something I don't know what. But he is now good in QuickNet.
Okay, so we have to treat him well.
I have the feature extraction part where I can get the phoning posteriors generated through the neural net.
Great.
So then I think
you just miss the backend, which is easy because it's HTK.
Yeah,
it's everyone knows.
Yeah, but HTK through for some other task I have run HTK. So
okay.
I have the general feel, but maybe I can take the entire setup from you and run it once on my thing to have.
Yeah. Okay. And you just need from us to hear. What are the other front ends and other features to choose?
Basically. So then I can share what I can have read down there.
Well, the whole idea then is that then you start playing with it, right?
Yeah.
And you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do we do it? should I list it or
is this?
Maybe, that might be the.
First is the feature extraction that we have already taken, then the backend for that.
Yeah.
Then
well,
yeah.
Like I distinguish between feature extraction and then the MLP because you feed something to the MLP which handles the wave.
Okay.
So well, that's why I call it. And then the backend. But okay. Also, what I have here, what I've been working on since I was here, was MFC CPLP, which is always needed for comparison targets.
Mm-hmm.
Then traps with Warrior's Lens, and also you know traps now.
Yeah, traps I know, but with various?
With Warrior's Lens.
Okay, lens.
We were trying to start from the ultimate lens of one frame up to 1 second or even more, but it was. So this also, then we applied the DCT on the trap itself. Which is something like the Gaussians, applying some filtering basically the trap. So this is mainly Franta who was doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So this is related to traps. I was also trying warping.
Okay.
Means if you have a second, which is 101 samples, I was just keeping the central 10 samples, and then I was throwing away some of them, you know, like resampling this. this 1 second of the trap to something which I preserved all the points in the center and just picked every 10th point at the boundaries,
mm-hmm.
which means the trap 101 trap trajectory shrank to say 15 points,
okay.
with still preserving the maximum resolution at the center and throwing away most of the points near the boundary. So this I was trying, so this I have some results on. So these are traps, then the Gauss traps,
okay.
then tandem system.
Okay.
The tandem you plus minus have because it's just a PLP,
okay.
and then there is a training with MLP.
Okay.
So it's taking some context of these PLP coefficients.
Uh-huh.
So it's like feeding PLPs or MLPs,
mm-hmm.
whatever, to MLP and taking some context. This is the tandem. So this setup we also have here.
Okay.
I didn't experiment with this, but maybe in some more results, it's Hemant who has the results on tandem, I guess.
Okay.
He used to have before he lost all
the
That's
right. Yeah, but
again.
I think the most important results are already in the thesis, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's there somewhere. So this is tandem. Then what? And then there is the FGLP. Then we can talk more
yeah,
about
that. Right.
Which I have more experiments on. Yeah. Also this warping and compressions and all these
right.
things. So
compression basically you have
yeah but I'm using that for a different reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's speech coding, so what is the task is usually just take the speech, of course, somehow to encode it into
mm-hmm.
as small number of bits as possible and with a reasonable quality, of course, and again to decode it.
Okay.
And I'm using FDLP
mm-hmm.
for that. Still playing with more or less 1 second long segment,
uh-huh.
so just dividing the speech into 1 second frames,
okay.
doing DCT,
uh-huh.
so the standard work, and then doing some compression and computation. But you're doing the same, no?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But you just didn't talk about.
Yeah, yeah.
Subbands.
You take the DCT and
okay.
you just divide it into several subbands, frequency
mm-hmm.
bands, with a different.
And by the way, you don't do the overlap on the subbands, no?
No,
I do.
Yeah, but you don't do the overlap on the tandem, and you
no,
say.
No.
Yeah.
I don't do.
Okay.
You
so that's the difference.
For compression, you're basically.
Yeah, just 1 second without overlapping. But in frequency domain, there is a overlap because you can choose which filters you want,
yeah.
more or less, or just trajectories of those bands. So there is overlapping. I'm using those Gaussian filters or
mm.
classical, those trapezoidal,
mm-hmm.
like in MSCCs,
mm-hmm.
right? And
yeah.
then processing each, yeah,
field. MSCCs are triangles.
Okay, triangles, that one. Then I'm doing independent processing of each frequency band.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm computing that Hilbert envelope,
okay.
which is just the envelope of some temporal trajectory. And more or less you can divide this into a Hilbert envelope, Hilbert carrier, which is something like LP, a linear prediction envelope,
mm-hmm.
autoregressive model, and excitation signal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those are two parts or items you need somehow to encode if you
okay.
want again to get original speech
mm-hmm.
or reasonable quality.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there is some compression factor, which is again when you're computing that autoregressive model
mm-hmm.
from FDLP, you can compress the spectrum somehow in such a way that you rather preserve those even also those dips, not only peaks.
Mm-hmm.
The spectrum, and it sounds better for some kind of.
You know about this compression? How
yeah.
and why it's okay.
I
just
knows more than I do.
he's new. He's doing most of the things.
So it's kind of logarithm when you use logarithm for MSCCs, right?
Yeah.
So it's again a compression factor, something. And but then you have to uncompress it again,
mm-hmm.
of course, to get back the speech. And there are other things which
mm-hmm.
I'm doing,
so
but it's not related to speech recognition so much.
But certainly when it comes to like the awkward modeling of temporal trajectories, even if that Foseg is not here, you probably know a lot about it by now.
Well what?
No, that approximating Hilbert
right,
envelope
right.
by awkward model.
What?
FDLP.
Well,
you are not here, that person knows about it.
It's because more or less the same approach, right?
Different application, different software or something.
So, just in the speech synthesis or coding that you're doing, did you try to play with the notes somewhere?
With what?
The compression number of bands and...
Number of bands and
what you were playing with and what are the results like what to use.
You know that's the problem for speech coding because I don't have results like in speech recognition.
Yeah,
of course
you
have to
listen
to
it yourself. I'm fine with it because
now what I'm using are 15 bands, which seems to me 15 frequency bands, which seems to me quite reasonable. We can go down
till
like 12 and still okay, I would say. But then you start hearing difference. Or also, that's another problem. Once you can go down with frequency bands, then you will have much more complicated that, let's say, excitation signal or that carrier.
If you go down?
Yeah,
if you make broader bands.
Broader bands,
because
right.
when the band is narrow, the excitation is close, the carrier is close to sinusoid, basically.
So there is more and more frequency components, let's say, or something like that. In one
so you want to say that the LPC is not able to fit it so that the residual was
no LPC
easy.
Will maybe, but then you have still another part, something like a source and a filter. So when you are doing speech coding or
you may almost want to this use the whiteboard. I mean that's why we have it here, right?
Why?
So
can you remove this when you're going to this place?
I don't know.
No, not supposed.
No, we are.
I mean, it's the same like when you are doing LP synthesis, right? So you've got source signal. I don't know source.
I think you have to push it as much as possible because
yeah.
it drags to the.
And then there is some filter, which is that one divided by AZ. And that's it. And the source can be a noise signal or it can be some. Sequence of what is that?
Pulses,
right?
This is this is a standard time domain error, right?
Yeah.
So it's more or less the same what I'm doing. So this is some envelope which is in our case related to Hilbert envelope, and this is a source signal which is Hilbert carrier.
But since you are in a different domain, this is here you are in time domain, right? But
right.
you are really in a frequency domain, so the lines turn into signs, right?
Right.
And you
exactly. Yeah. So this
is
now going to be
because
frequency.
This spectrum is also line spectrum, right? I mean all components. So if you are in a frequency, your source looks like this.
Yeah. So more or less, if we can plot it. So what we can see is some Hilbert envelope like this, and then there is that Hilbert carrier, or this is not Hilbert carrier, but this is the signal which we get from. One frequency band. So you compute DCP, right? From
this is the subband.
Yeah, exactly.
Time signal.
Right.
And what we get from that is this Hilbert envelope, right?
So you know that.
And the second, which should be that carrier, should be something like this. It's just really close to cosine. You might see.
Okay.
To do it properly, right? And this is what you also have to somehow transmit, or at least try to transmit. In order to get
and this is
I was thinking the residual in LPC fit of the Hilbert envelope, not this. I was not thinking of this at all before. You know.
Right.
There are three things. First, you have to encode this, then the LPC coefficients,
right.
and the residual of the LPC fit.
No, I don't need
like.
LPC. No.
This
no.
is later residual.
This is a residual for
yeah.
me.
In the for
is it the residual?
Yeah, I just want to transmit this signal, right? It's
yeah.
And what you need is this envelope and this one carrier, and you again get the same signal, this shape.
Okay.
Doing
yeah.
IDCT.
Yeah.
And the biggest problem currently is that the carrier is actually not cosine, but
right.
something a little bit more.
Take a look. For example, for us, if you have a very good music signal, which is very periodic, you can really see something like is one peak.
And if the frequency doesn't change over the length of the...
It doesn't change. It's related to
yeah.
That frequency of the broadband or
yes.
cord. If you have those
that's
filters,
nice.
Which are wider and wider, this is that center frequency, which is somehow related to this one.
Okay.
So you can transmit...
So the broader bands do what on this picture?
It's worse and worse. Then you don't see anything like cosine.
Fortunately, because of properties of hearing, more or less, for the higher bands, if you put in just some garbage, some noise, it doesn't really matter all that much. It sounds a little bit worse, but it's not a big tragedy. If you want to do a good voice speech, you'll want to get the lower bands. And if you put in noise altogether,
everywhere,
it sounds like a whispered speech.
It sounds like
perfectly.
LPC when you excited by noise.
By noise.
It's better, I would say. Better quality. Definitely better quality. It's lower bitrate, but that's a problem.
So now we have to kill them both, because, I mean, we gave all the secrets away.
Yeah.
How come it's going to...
Any objective measure you use for...
Objective measure, well, it was some those distances, spectral distances. Well, it didn't work so properly, so well, I mean.
If Motorola or Nokia gets hold of this tape, then we are in trouble. Hopefully by then it will be protected and everything, right?
Well, the hammer just said that we shouldn't talk about confidential things.
But listen, this is a science. I mean,
yeah.
It's confidential to the extent that we are not publishing it yet, but we will. But we have to make sure that if Qualcomm has an interest, who's funding the work, they have to have a chance to patent it or something. It's a law. This is not a public presentation,
right.
So this is not even a problem.
Yeah, sure.
The only problem would be if nobody can beat Peter Motlicek anymore. if Nokia knows everything, if you sell it tomorrow, who did you work for? HP. They will take half a year before they will even realize what it is, and by then, so it's not problem. Okay, so that's.
Okay, so there is a compromise between the lower bands, the worse stuff you just said, and the more bands, the more coefficients to transmit.
Right.
So 15 is about okay.
Yeah. Also, there are papers about that. If you have like 12. Frequency bands is somehow optimal.
Okay, so this, and then there is a compression.
Compression
that?
Is only to relate to somehow fit that Hilbert envelope to
get that.
So that you get, so
yeah.
that you can model it. Actually.
Yeah, you can model it better. There is no echo or something error bands in the signal. If you really go down with that compression factor to like 0.1, something
what?
Like that.
Oh,
0.1.
Compression.
So what is the compression factor you are getting here?
When you compress the effectively what the signal which we are modeling,
right?
And so then you get a fit into compressed signal.
Okay.
Essentially, if you were in spectral domain, you would compress the power spectrum.
Yes.
Here you compress the what?
Subband power spectrum.
Yeah, the city of the signal.
Right.
And so then your predictor is fitting actually this compressed signal, but you know how much it was compressed, so you can always expand it back, so that you get a fit to the original thing, except that the fit is different, because it basically this OPPO modeling has a different properties.
Yeah, you just preserve something different a bit.
Yeah.
So
we can tell you a little bit more about it. This is sort of old technique. Which
I think Hinek has good many papers or some papers about that.
It was my thesis, PhD thesis actually. It's not a
PhD. I think I read
it. Yeah, STLP was called Spectral Transformlinear Prediction. It was my first ICAS paper ever. It was 1983 Boston. You guys were still in kindergarten, right?
Right, more or less.
Yeah. Oh, this is terrible. But nobody was using it for anything, except it was cute. But that was about it. But now it seems like that is since what we are doing here, we are normal LPC is fitting peaks, right?
Yes.
But when you are modeling Hilbert envelope, you don't necessarily want to fit only peaks.
Yes.
You sometimes want to get a basically good estimate of the of the envelope. So that helps you, because then this this spectral transform allows you to find the right balance between how well it fits peaks, how well it fits dips, and So I think that basically, I don't know what else. I mean, you should be asking questions, right?
Yeah. one thing I wanted to know is a good literature on this.
I think you can really take those papers from Mario's. That's really not.
I have two.
This is Sapa or how it's called?
Sapa, and then this is there are two papers. One is in Sapa, one is in InterSpeech.
One is in
Jeju, and one was in ASRU.
Yes.
From Virgin Islands.
What is Sapa?
Sapa was.
I don't know.
I tell you what it stands for: statistic and something conceptual approaches. I was on the organizing committee, as you know. statistic and something approaches. Statistics and perceptual approaches.
But there are also reports from IDIAP, I think. At least two reports from Marius seem to me.
But they are the same, right?
Yeah, they are more.
And then also, is there is some more work actually can be traced down. I think they're reading Les Atlas's papers are very good, because Les Atlas is doing a lot of work on coding in this domain. He doesn't use Orpol model, but he uses DCT, and then he. And Les is an excellent guy. He's a very good very good theoretician. Basically, he's a Stanford the guy, and really he likes to write things well. So he's very rigorous, as opposed to me, for instance. So if you read that, then you know that there are no errors.
Sometimes it's unreadable.
quite
difficult.
So whatever you get hands on from Les Atlas for over past 5 years regarding this, 2 years ago or last year on one of the ICASPs, he had like 5 papers, right?
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
various aspects of this, because
I think this year on InterSpeech there was one paper where it was regarded to speech recognition.
Okay.
Somehow.
Is that so? I didn't even see it.
Yeah. It was not something like speech coding or that DCT transforms, nothing like that.
Also, I can. Before Marius left, he had actually left himself, but all the files are here, and also all the MATLAB implementations of these are here. And there is also one big table that he used to fill
in with all kinds of parameters.
Yeah, he was also playing with all these compression factors and lengths of the of that. And there is a big table in Excel. Which you can look at.
Has all kinds of speech recognition results, right?
Yeah.
It was the first time you started using the cluster, I remember, or some parallel processing. There was a big thing here.
It took a huge amount of time. And he was the first one to realize that these guys are pretty slow to do these things.
Everybody hated him temporarily, I remember.
he just put here the PMake environment, and he didn't stick to any cluster or anything. He just put PMake and write on all the machines here.
Uh-huh.
So at some point he was using all the available memory by any mistake, and also in the morning all the machines were just stuck. No one could ever.
I remember Frank came to me and said, everybody was computing like Mario's, we would be all dead. And I said, Frank, but I want everybody to compute like Mario's.
So these results, because he was doing everything in MATLAB, so it was again 10 times more demanding than C++, and then
maybe it's hard to say. Not so bad with it if you really write it well.
But he did. He wrote it well.
But
anyway, because in the code that I wrote, I was like playing also with if the matrix is sparse. I really don't use it all. I just multiply from here to here, from here to here, and up to matrix, my matrix, and then I just optimized it a bit, and also BLAST libraries and all these things. But okay,
that's not important.
Well, it is important, you know what I mean. This is something which we never talk about, right? Like how much work
Oh yeah, sure, it is important for this course.
It's true that that things sped up tremendously since I came. I mean, of course, partially because they started to buy some more
yeah.
hardware, but also some people basically know how to.
Because there's the backend recognizer, which I will give you, which is turnaround of 18 minutes, or well, from 11 to 15 minutes normally. It would take
used to be 2 days.
Yeah, no, today it was over 1 hour. It's just like 10 times less, maybe, or 5 to 10 times less. But
mm-hmm.
still, you can 5 times more.
So do you already know what is the situation with you? You go back to Prague for a while, and then did you get anything in France? I got some ideas, by the way.
Great.
Yeah.
I have to talk to you about this. I don't know. I didn't try to anything. I didn't even mail to Andrzej Janowski. I just talked to one girl there, which told me that he would be possibly able to find me a job there, any job, like related maybe to field, but job, not anything, any research.
That's
so
good.
If nothing,
right.
then I could be able to get a job.
So you don't die of hunger.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's not the idea. We'll try something. So, Jörn, your main... Basically, the thing is, as I told you when we were walking, that whatever Petra did, that it doesn't die, but it carries, and obviously, we very much hope that you get into that and you get excited, then you just more and or maybe even different things.
We hope that you find out that everything was wrong and that the potential
that
is much
actually
bigger.
Works.
Yeah, it actually works. That's it.
Yeah.
It's not that it doesn't work.
No, but. After you find out the bug, then it will be easier. I will be easier. Yeah. So, we will send you the papers related, and I will point you to all the code which I have.
Yeah, but regarding this FDA.
Yes, and this is all on the record, so
if
we can hold him to his word.
Make sure I can just now tell the locations of all the files and rewind.
Browse through the meeting.
So.
What are we doing time wise? Yeah, I think half hour is fine, right?
Yeah. Any more things?
You will be here until end of...
until 24.
This
to Friday.
November.
Yeah.
Breaks my heart. It's just like I will just start teaching and then I'll need an assistant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not the best one. It's careful.
Better. Hopefully it makes they pay some extra.
What are you going to talk or to teach? It's just
the
perceptual
speech,
stuff.
But it's actually combination of two classes I was giving at OGI,
mm-hmm.
which is like speech processing and perception. And so I try to put it together so that it makes some sense.
And do you already know how many students you have?
No. I should have at least 4 because this is a graduates. I have one, right?
Oh, it's
guaranteed.
Graduate.
I have
graduate.
One guaranteed, and I don't know if anybody else is.
Well, I think Guillermo was.
Four credits or total?
Sorry, I don't know. I don't know if it needs to be 4 credit or not. I don't know how much I like people without not taking it 4 credit because then they just sit there and having good time. But it's okay. No, it's okay.
Because in Iris it's 4. Credits. Guillermo is taking, I think.
Guillermo is taking, very good. Yeah, so I already have at least 2. I probably get 4.
I would like to go there, but not just for credits, just maybe to hear something new.
It's possible, that's for sure. I mean, that's. Okay.
And last time it was, for me it was good, the course, from one special reason, because when there were the floods in Turkey,
mm-hmm.
I lost all my papers from my school, all the exercise books.
Mm-hmm.
How to say this?
Yeah, the notebooks.
All the notepads and everything, all notes from any courses, so I was remembering what I was learned,
but that's
what
good,
I was
you know,
taught at the time, so I have it now back, at least partially. Because all the algorithms you were speaking about.
I didn't get into too many things actually. You know, the reason was that at the time we thought, I was teaching with Hervé, and we thought we have much more time, and suddenly we ran out of time, basically, because what happened was that it was supposed to be 3-hour lecture, it was only 2-hour lecture, and Hervé assumed that it's going to run longer, or I don't know what he assumed, but suddenly he said, so where are you? I said, I'm slowly getting into LPC. He said, but we have only 3 more lectures, I have to teach HMM and everything, so the LPC part was like I had to do it in 1 hour, and then everybody was totally confused, I guess.
Also in the labs, people didn't know anything about it and they just followed the paper.
Where was this?
That was at EBFL. Okay guys, I think that unless somebody has still anything terribly important.
Yeah, but I can come to
right. It's a little bit up to you. You have to back this, especially better because just to make sure that.
Yeah, but anyway, after I'm back, I'll be still on Skype and all these things. So
okay.
No problem to contact me until I don't know May next year. So
you think that it will be done by May? Is it planned?
Well, I would like to.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, we made a mistake, I tell you. I think if I had to do it again, we made a mistake. We should have registered you here at EPFL. You would have had a degree by now for EPFL. Yeah, that was a mistake.
Oops, I would have to study here for that long time, no?
3 years. You were here. How long you were here? 2 years?
2 years, yeah. I would have to stay one more. Well, it would be good reason for background.
Yeah.
I have to stay here.
So is she getting another position there, or what is that?
She has a good position because she's a friend who is starting a lab there.
Oh, I see.
It's a great opportunity for her.
Yeah.
But the problem is that then she will go back and have family issues and
everything.
For a girl, it's always a pain because she has to break for some time,
yeah.
At least a little, but. Has to break, and in science it's not that easy.
I know.
To break.
Okay.
So in case I need something on this DLP, I continue.
Oh sure.
Otherwise, I'm also much more available than I was. I mean, when you came, it was just like one of the craziest times of this year. It's not that I was very productive, that I was doing anything useful, but it's just like, it's a little bit like writing thesis, all the time rewriting and make little changes and...
Yeah, but I think definitely you are the best person here related to availability of you. Because if I want to go to Hervé, I probably call secretary, he's
there. He has many more people to take care of. Yeah.
There was and every time I came to you, you were available.
Typically, I try to be because
that's
you know, I mean, this is also my livelihood, right, students? So I have to be sure that they need to know something. So feel free, basically, to stop by any time.
Yeah.
And it's not that I know everything, but I know. I think I sort of know a little bit like what you guys were doing, but not all the details.
You know the core, which we don't remember anymore while programming.
You don't know why you had.
We know the details, but you know what.
Why are you doing this?
Ask my boss.
Okay, I think my mic is falling, so I think we go, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thanks
a lot.
Thank you.
Oops, I have to take this off.
Hej, jo, hope that it was long enough. Yeah? Ah, definitely.
Some
stars. Always on the side. Yeah. So they're in the middle. You don't sell out the pointy key. I think we'll see you next week.
See you.